she will be missed. It's the news, according to me. It is Thursday morning, August 4th, 8:26 a.m. Within a few miles of my house, a road that I travel down many times, and I always feel like it is a dangerous road. And every year, many people have accidents, and several people die. Yesterday, that several people included Congresswoman Jackie Walorski and some of her staff. In a very strange accident, my understanding is she was coming out of the roundabout, and the car coming the other direction came into their lane. Granted, it is a rather confusing roundabout. However, this other driver had to have been going incredibly fast. There's no way that, having come through the roundabout, that they could have been going very, very quickly themselves. So the other car must have been traveling extremely fast. All involved in the accident were killed. Jackie Walorski served in the State House for many years before she moved on to the federal congressional representative in the House. She's been there for several terms. Jackie was not one who would parade herself around in front of the television cameras much. She did a lot of work behind the scenes mostly, but and I had some disagreements with her. But she was the kind of person you could let her know. I'm not sure what the process is in Indiana for putting someone back into or filling her seat. Her representative position. I'm not sure what that process is. Of course, the election's coming up soon. An election that she would have most certainly won and would have probably loved to have seen the massive red wave that's about to happen. So my condolences go out to her family, her friends, her staff, her coworkers, the members of her church. I know I had sat with her, I went to a Paul Wilbur concert one time, and she sat right in front of me. Now, for those of you who know anything about Paul Wilbur, he's kind of the real deal, and anybody who follows him or is a fan, quote, fan of his, or follows his music, is not just your fringe happy go to church on Sunday or, you know, Easter Christian. You are a real believer. Or it's more likely that you're a real believer if you are following people like that around. She was the daughter of missionary parents, so she grew up on the mission field to some degree. no stranger to the gospel and what it meant to serve. These are just things that I've known about her. I haven't read her obituary. I haven't read anything about what the media is saying. Her husband, I don't know if he was in the car or not. My understanding is he was not. He is an amazing saxophone player. It's a sad day, and I hate to start the show off with such a thing, but I think it deserves honor in being the first thing I talk about this morning. This morning at 4 o'clock a.m., I lost someone in my family very close to me as well. So, in that process, my heart is very tender as well. So my normal level of empathy is probably magnified with respect to that. The people in the media gave her about 30 seconds worth of, surprisingly, I think it was ABC, actually, that had about a five-minute-long talk with someone here from the state of Indiana who had worked with her in the House, Indiana State House, and gave him time to speak about her and talk about her a little bit, which I thought was very respectable of them to do that. But for the most part, Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, or so Kevin McCarthy, has come out and had some very kind words about her. I doubt that Nancy Pelosi will have anything to say, because I doubt this Nancy Pelosi even knows that there was such a person in the Congress that she's Speaker of. Because she's one of those red hat people. She's one of those insurrectionists, one of those people who are a threat to our democracy if they get elected. But Nancy has some problems of her own. Her husband is apparently getting he already got special treatment, but he's actually getting treated the way most of us would be treated. Actually, we'd be in jail for a long time. Little something called criminal negligence that would probably be locked away for years. He might get 5 days in jail. That is possible. He was not only drunk, there were other substances involved, apparently. And it's questionable as to who was in the car with him. Nobody's talking about that. Everyone involved in this accident was hurt. There are records, and I'm sure that they will come out. Not that it matters to me, it just matters that this kind of coverage isn't covered up. The kind of coverage that covers things. Well, we need to save fate. We don't look at anything improprieties here. Yeah, well, how about we just state the facts? At least report that. Because I guarantee you, if it was Kevin McCarthy's wife that got into an accident, there'd be a whole different line of talking about it in the media. In my cup this morning is chai with my regular Cinnabon creamer. It's kind of a comforting drink for me this morning anyway. Not my usual jovial self, I will admit. But I do want to take a moment, however, to talk about the seriousness of life. You know, we grow up as young kids thinking that, you know, those old people, they've been around forever. And I'm never going to be like that. I'm never going to be old like that, probably not for a million years. I'm young, I'm, you know, healthy. I can jump over a wall, run through a troop. Or as we used to say when we were kids, I can run through a wall and jump over a troop. And then you turn around and you realize, hey, I'm one of those old people. It was yesterday that I was that kid jumping over the wall and running through a troop. So, as we go through life, we sometimes realize too late that life is too short. And that things that we should have done or could have done, those moments, those experiences that we should have had or taken, slip by. And then we are too old to enjoy them in the years when we do have the time to enjoy them. To experience them, the part of life that is this great adventure that we're on. Now, for some, that's not a part of who they are, it's not a part of what they want in life. But those of you who are sitting by waiting for that day when something drops into your lap, that opportunity or that whatever it is, I would encourage you to make that opportunity happen. Now, I'm not a life coach. I'm not a counselor, not a financial advisor. I'm not a doctor or a lawyer. I'm just a guy with some opinions. But I am an old man that's had a lot of experiences in life. And I'll tell you my opinions and my stories. And hopefully encourage you to live your best life. One of the best things you can do with your life is to realize your mortality. And to be aware enough of yourself to know that you are left to your own devices, a very wretched person. And that there is a way to experience redemption. Hopefully you come to that knowledge at some point and you act on it and accept it, what has been offered to you. I this morning was listening to some things about from Trevor Loudon has a show a channel called Counterpunch on YouTube, and he's talking about the globalists and the communists, how they're all one and the same, they're all the same agenda. It's interesting when I hear some of these people who are very steeped and very well versed in things that are happening with regard to world events, the communist Marxist thing. And it's been my observation, which is the main point of the book that I'm trying to write for the last 20 years, is that there is a common thread that rolls through much of what happens in the world. And it always has to do with the motivation of a person and how they're spiritually connected or what they're spiritually connected to. Now, having said that, you understand that there is a conspiracy going on. Not a theory, it's a fact. But the conspiracy is not necessarily what you can put your finger on with regard to, you could spend your whole life researching this stuff and try to figure out connections between people like Klaus Schwab and all these other communists and Marxists and all these groups that are having all these very similar, seemingly similar motivations at their core. And then you realize that it's not necessarily what is seen or can be seen that is showing its face. It is the evidence of things unseen. You can't see the air, but you can see the effects of it. When wind blows through the trees, you can't see the wind itself, but you can see the trees moving. And you know that the wind is blowing through it, but you can't see it. It's the evidence of something that's unseen or unseeable. But you can conclude definitively that the air is blowing through those trees. Because trees don't just move around on their own like that. If they did, it'd be kind of creepy. So there's this common wind blowing through many trees, making them move in the same direction all at the same time. Strange, they're not connected to each other. They don't talk to each other. But the wind that blows through them moves them in the same way, in the same manner. This is much like the spiritual world, the spiritual battle that we're in. The enemy, having enslaved some people in this lust for power and greed and money, are motivated by that, combined with their egos and all the other things that they've got going on for them. And sure enough, they all seem to have the same tendencies. And this goes around and around and around from the biblical days of children of Israel dealing with the enemies that they had to modern day times right now. We have the same kind of people throughout history. Hebrew thought is that history is cyclical. cyclical. It goes around and around, but it goes in a spiral upwards. Each spiral, each turn of the spiral builds on the next spiral, and it continues to go up. Something like a 3D printer. And the more that technology is injected into this process, the more global this becomes, the more connected people become with each other with regard to the ability of this spirit to unify . And it is an anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-truth spirit. You are now seeing the beginnings of the vilification of Christianity. As the polarization becomes more black and white between good and evil politically, and the left becomes much further out, farther away from Christian truth, biblical-based understanding, which is, that's exactly the direction they're headed down. It still blows my mind that any Christian can call themselves a Democrat. In fact, there was a pastor recently that booted out anybody who was a Democrat. He said, if you're a Democrat, get out of this church. You got no business being here if you're part of the Democrat Party. I mean, it was pretty radical. It was very, went viral. Of course, he got called all kinds of names. That's what the enemy does. But really, actually, I have to agree with like 99.9% of what he said. Now, I mean, he called the party out for what it is. You don't have to be a Republican. But I certainly don't understand how you can remain a Democrat and call yourself a believer. I really don't. I don't understand that at all. There are some social issues, yes, that I understand. I get it. But we want the same things with regard to social issues. It's just how we get there that we disagree. We all want to see people taken care of, have health care. Everybody wants to see everybody have health care. Both parties want to see health care as a non-issue, as just something that we all have and we all can afford or get or something we have access to. Every human. We just disagree on who should pay for that and how we should go about having that happen, making that happen, or the ability to have it happen. But the Democrats vilify anybody who goes against their way of doing it. And therefore, we set up the polarization process. And then they blame anybody who disagrees with them, anyone who dissents. Well, you're a racist, all this, you know, all the things that you're in, the half of your deplorables are in that basket. That's where that goes. And they're successful at this portraying this caricature. They've been doing it for years. They've been practicing for years. Almost 100 years now. Actually, more than that, but just in terms of modern industrial society. And all you have to do, really, is look at the direction that the leftists want us to head, and those who involved in all the things that surround them and the way they act in social structures. I've said this before. I'll say it again, and I'll probably say it again and again. Look at those involved in social media. Look at the push. Let's just take this as an example. If you misbehave, if you say something that we deem to be mistruth or misinformation, even though they turn that around and find out that they were wrong. They never admit that they were wrong. Let's say you say something they don't like. Goes against the narrative. Goes against the social construct that they want to create. They ban you. They ostracize you. This is what's happening in the ethosphere, is what they want to do to you in real life. It's what the leftists, the communists, the Marxists, all of them have done to dissenters. Anything that's a collectivist mentality has to, for the greater good of society, you should get your vaccine. You have a social responsibility to do this. Yeah. So when we have this mentality, and the next thing they want to do is shut you off, shadow ban you from having a voice on their platform. Look at what the leftists have said about this. Those in Congress, even. They've come out and said, yes, we disagree with the censorship that's going on Facebook. We think there should be more. We think we should be involved. We should have our own czar, misinformation czar, that can go out and she literally said she should be able to, like Wikipedia, you should be able to go in and edit people's tweets so you can change them, correct them. So if I tweet something, they can go in and correct it for me. No, that's not Orwellian. Not at all. That shouldn't scare you at all, should it? No. Because they're there to help you. They're there to fix what's wrong with you. These are the people who are telling you what to say, how to say it, how to talk to other people, how to call them, how to redefine the words that we've had traditionally for millennia. The social norms and constructs and the things that held societies together, they're all of a sudden saying, oh, we have to do things this way now. This is the higher level. We're marching towards utopia, not Pretoria. Utopia. With them at the top. That's the important part. All the while, they want to be the ones in charge because they're so important. Adam Schiff, who is head of the Security Council, he's really concerned about Nancy Pelosi stepping down. So who else better to step into that position than Adam Schiff? Here I come to save the day, everyone. Again, they are now talking like, of course, monkeypox now is this national emergency. No, it's a national emergency. We're coming up on the elections. It would not surprise me that they would try to get us into a war right before the election. Look, these people, when they make statements, the statements that they make, it's very telling that they believe they're going to lose their democracy if they lose their election. If the Republicans take back the House and the Senate, they will believe, they're trying to convince, now whether they believe it or not, they're trying to convince you, gaslight you into believing that the nation will be ruined. That we will lose our democracy if we democratically oust them out of office. Because when they lose, obviously the election was rigged. It was misinformation. It was the Russians. It was hackery. Can't trust the machines. When they win, under extremely suspicious circumstances, and actually illegally win in many cases, judges are now coming out and saying, yes, what the attorney generals did in some of those states, like Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, was illegal. State's attorney generals stepped in most cases, and said, we're going to allow mail-in ballots, not just allow mail-in ballots, we're going to mail a ballot to every single person in the registry, and then some, They actually mailed out more than one. Several people. There's so many reports. We're talking thousands of people got more than one ballot. There were people getting ballots that didn't live in the state. It was, and to think that that's not nefarious, that that wasn't by design. And then all of a sudden, all these people start voting who've never voted before. You know, the thousands upon thousands start to add up into the millions. The next thing you know, you've got a president who won by 9 million votes. But this is the most secure. You have no right to, don't you dare question this election, or we will socially ban you. You will be demonetized. Your PayPal account will be frozen. Your GoFundMe account will be retracted. For your legal campaign. To pay your legal bills. To go after somebody. We're just going to take that away from you. These are the people. That by virtual, they're virtually doing it in virtual reality, but they're doing it in your real life. They're the same ones who were doing it during Mao Zedong, Stalin, Che Guevara. These are the people who would control you. And we're supposed to believe somehow that they have your best interest in mind. That they believe in you as an individual. No, that is not the case at all. They see you as a group. They want to pile you into a group because it's a lot easier to talk to that group than it is to talk to you as an individual. To find out what your goals, your dreams, your vision for the future is, for your future. Well, that doesn't fit into society. Rugged individualism. Barack Obama mocked that term, mocked it. Like he talked about the bitter clingers who are hanging onto their guns and their religion. Yeah, that sounds like a believer. That sounds like a dedicated, sincere Christian faith to say that. A person who was raised Muslim, who never had a testimony, never heard his testimony about how and why he converted to Christianity. What was it about Yeshua that caused you to convert, to believe in Yeshua, HaMashiach? Because he spoke of Jesus so often and so fondly, especially about his people. He would speak about them so nicely. Know them by their fruits. The fruit of this leftist movement is that same fruit that fascists throughout eternity have offered us. It's time we recognize this. We need to pray for an awakening in this nation to accept the truth, to speak the truth, and to see the truth of what's happening around us. Our eyes need to be open as a nation. And I believe they are being opened. I believe the blind are seeing right now. Because the more they implement these wacky, crazy policies, now the problem is the longer time lingers, the passage of time, the importance of the passage of time. You know, I don't think it was any coincidence that she got stuck on that phrase. This tells us something, and it should be a warning to us. The passage of time. The progressives are all about this passage of time thing. The reason is because they have a 100-year plan. It's actually gone a little over 100 years now, but they've got this 100-year plan, and they're basically at the point where they're ready to grab the brass ring and take everything. The pandemic was their all-in move right there. Now, they may have to have another pandemic to get this all, you know, sealed up and done. But they've kind of shown their hat now on this. There are a lot of people who got vaccinated, by the way, who are now regretting that decision, especially a lot of athletes, a lot of people who are working. Now, here's my problem with this whole mandate thing. I talked to so many people during the vaccine age, the era of the vaccine. You take the shot, get the jab, or we'll socially reject you. I talked to so many people around the country who would emphatically say, "Well, I'm totally against the mandates, but I totally also support getting vaccines. But I don't support the vaccine mandate." Oh, so you got the vaccine? Yes, I believe in the vaccines. I think it's my responsible thing to do. So you're not going to disclose your vaccination status to your employer then? Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I might as well, because I'll lose my job if I don't. Oh, well, then you really don't stand against the mandates then. That was your red line right there. That was your line in the sand that you could have drawn. You can get the vaccine all day long, but you shouldn't disclose that to your employer if you're against the mandate, because that's where the mandate has teeth. But they did. Everybody did. Well, I'd lose my job. That's the point. That's why you stand against it. Because it's not just you losing your job. It's everybody else who doesn't want to get the vaccine. You stand up for those people who have the right to not get to that whole thing about, oh, I stand against the mandate. Oh, no, you don't. What are you going to do, vote for somebody next election in 2 years after everybody's been sent off to the gulag? How's that going to work out for you? And you stand against it, and then you get socially banned from society, from media, from the platforms. And your voice is gone. And there you are, vaccinated, with your little job, and no moral fortitude. No character. You're a shell of a person. Now, if don't get me wrong here. If you got the vaccine and you told your employer and you stand against and you say you don't agree with the mandates, it doesn't make you a bad person. I'm just saying, you should have thought it through a little bit more about what you mean when you say you stand against the mandates. Do you really? Just say you're for them. You cooperated in it. Just say you're for it. Okay. But don't pretend to think that you had some kind of, oh, I'm really torn up about this and I'm really upset about it, but I'm not going to do anything that will affect my life about it. No, that's not even genuine right there. Okay, so let's just get over that. Let's get past it. Okay. Whatever. You want to get vaccinated and you want to be for the mandate. That's your business. You got a right to your opinion. I strongly disagree. Strongly. Willing to give up work over this, which I believe a lot of other people are too. In fact, this whole return to work thing, I think there's a percentage of individuals who were so put off by this. I know some people who will absolutely not go to work for people any company who was mandating vaccines. I've heard this. I keep hearing this from. I just heard it yesterday talking to a guy. I was getting on a flight from Birmingham back to Chicago, and I happened to get into a little chat with a guy, and he went right off on the whole vaccine thing. Because the flight was delayed and there was problems. Of course, then he kept talking about how he flies. He flies like twice a week. He goes all over the place. Flies on American mostly, but he was on United this time. And he was talking about how he, there wouldn't be such a much of a pilot shortage if they just wouldn't have mandated people getting vaccinated. Which it's, there's about 400, I think about 400 pilots at United, I believe, was dropped out. I don't know of any other airline that actually mandated the vax. I can't think of any. I don't believe American did. But I am not positive about that. So I wouldn't, don't quote me on that because I'm not a statistician, or I'm not a, I'm not one of those guys. So this stuff is still an issue. Now, I didn't mean to go down the whole vaccination thing today. I didn't know where my show was going to go this morning, really. I had no idea because I had such a heavy heart starting this show and absolutely had no idea what I would delve into. Other than I knew I'd listened to the a couple of channels on YouTube in the last 24 hours. I didn't have a show yesterday morning. I actually had time to do a show yesterday morning and just didn't get it done. I got in so late on Tuesday evening that I was just wiped out on Wednesday morning. Never did get a show done. And then I got in this morning actually at 1 a.m. Got back from my trip. It was just a messy day in Chicago. Ground stops, all kinds of issues that they were having there traveling. So it was lots of delays and all kinds of things happening, and it was just a mess. By the time I drove back from Chicago, there was a lot more traffic than normal on a Wednesday night at that hour. For some reason, there's some construction and issues, of course. And so this morning, wasn't sure what I was going to say. And I do appreciate all of you listening and putting up with my ranting. I know that many of you feel the same way. And I hate to say we comfort each other in our misery kind of thing, but it is a serious time. And I think that it requires a serious look at serious issues. If we're not willing to look at the problem and admit that there's a problem and talk about the problem will not just go away. We have to discuss it in detail so that we can understand how to unravel this mess. And someone in this process, I may not be the guy with the solutions to the problems, but I can certainly be the guy who looks at the problem and takes it apart for you, for the person with the solution. Here's what's going on. This happens all the time in industry. Someone will look at a machine and it's they see where the problem is. They start to take it apart, but they have no idea how to fix it. But they can tell you what the problem is. They're very good at that. They know exactly what it is. Maybe it's somebody who works on the machine or actually runs the machine. So they call in the technician, person who possibly was part of the company who designed and built the machine. And then they might hire a specialist to come in and say, well, we got this engineer here. He's going to look at this and see what we can do. If we can weld on this, or we can put a part in here, or we can do something to straighten this out. That's the solution guy. I'm not the solution guy. I'm going to add that to my list of things I'm not. It's a really long list. And in that process, we work together on something, and we have the person who has the critical eye, who can see the problem, the person who understands the problem, who can convey or maybe communicate that information, what the problem is, to somebody who has the solution. And then we have people who implement that solution. It may not be the people who have the solution, but they have the ability to creatively figure out what needs to be done, and then you hire those people who can do it. That's how we work together on something like this. I'm a part of that cog. I'm not the guy who's just going to talk about positive things all the time. I have to talk about positive things, can't mention anything negative. Because we have to have each other in this process. Well, I am the guy who sees the problem. And I don't want to communicate it in a way that scares you, because there are solutions for this. I thoroughly believe there are. I think we can find our way out of this with God's light of truth lighting the way, speaking His truth, continuing to move forward. There's an interesting event that took place recently at a convenience store. A couple of guys, there was three guys in the car. There was at least three involved in the whole situation. There might have been four. One guy's in the convenience store with a rifle. Now, I don't know what kind of rifle it was. It could have been an airsoft rifle. It looked like a rifle. He's in the convenience store, and they're getting ready to rob it. He's already in the store. This old guy comes out from behind the counter, takes a shotgun, and shoots the guy, hits him in the arm. I believe it was the arm he was holding the gun with. Of course, the guys inside hear the guys who are outside, who are just getting out of the car, hear the gunshot. And then they hear their buddy screaming inside. Well, they all start getting in the car, getting ready to take off. I think they were about to leave the guy. He comes running out the door. He shot my arm off. And then he gets in the car and they drive away. Of course, they backed up to a security camera where you could see the license plate very clearly. The whole point of this is one shot. You start to resist the devil and he will flee from you. This is the scripture that comes to mind when I watch this whole event take place on video. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Scared to death. Scared out of their living minds. One shot. One shot of truth at the enemy. And all you see is cowardice, shaking, fear, running away. Because they know they have no ground to stand on. They know they're not in a place of truth. They've come to rob, steal, and destroy. It's like a little anecdote. These are the people we're dealing with, folks. The end justifies the means for them. And this is where they go. They have no interest in you being the best you can be. All they care about is that you go along with them and continue to elevate them up to a place of power over you. Because that's their main goal in life. Power. Because with it comes all kinds of money, control. This is where they're at. But we are fast, quickly, actually, approaching the end of the week. And as we go into this end of the week, I just want to say that I appreciate all of you listening, praying, getting involved in your world in a positive way. Contact your congressmen, your senators, your local leaders, and your federal leaders as well. We have to do that. First and foremost, pray for them. Speak to them in ways that they can understand, coherent ways that are filled with love. God bless everybody. Have a great week.